Good morning. How's everybody doing? Praise the Lord. Y'all feeling good? Well, you're looking good. Do you think I look good? How do you like my baby doll shoes? I know, guys, you can just ignore me, but I love my baby doll shoes. Have we had church already or what? Woo, praise God. It's been so good. And I have a couple things I want to talk about before I get into my message this morning, but we are on a 30-days month of communion, everybody. So I just really want to challenge you to receive communion at home. And listen, if you have children, sit around together in the living room or the dining room table and teach your children about communion. Receive communion together. It's bringing into remembrance what Jesus already did for us. Amen. There's a whole teaching on the website if you want to familiarize yourself a little bit, but you only need water and some bread. You don't need the fancy little cups over here. So just something, a pretzel, milk, it don't matter, whatever you are using as your symbol. So we are leading up to Easter Sunday, everybody, and that's the 31st of this month. It's already coming so fast. So we want you to be praying for your families, salvation. We want you to start inviting people to church, inviting them to Easter Sunday. We're really believing God for your family members to come to Jesus, amen, and your coworkers and people that you know and love. And so I think we're on day three today, so make sure you start with this if you haven't done it already. Also, just briefly, we are, God really woke me up a couple weeks ago and put in my heart of the 18 to 40-year-olds. Now, when I say this and you're not in that age group, you all are in my heart very deep, okay? I live for the church. I love the church. Really, I'd rather preach in the church than anywhere else. It's really my passion. But God really spoke to me about the millennials and Gen Z, that God is calling them to arise. There's something on the inside of this generation that I really want to pull them to the front lines in the kingdom. And God really spoke to me to mentor them and really challenge them. And so because of that, we've included the millennials. If you're up to 40-ish, there's no concrete start and stop, but that's just really what the Lord put in my heart. But with that being said, I am asking for people who have a passion that want to be a prayer wall around this legacy generations. If you want to come that night and help serve in some capacity, we're having worship and ministry. We want to make sure they have a lot of fun too. How many know when you're young, you still want to have a lot of fun? So if this is in your heart and you're like, I would love to partner with you, Pastor Barb, and I'd love to lead and help in any way that I can, please come see me, and I would love to find a place for you to serve and be a part of this beautiful, I think, a move of God that's going to happen in our church. Amen. Especially what happened today, I could just see that happening in our young people, and I realize they need mentorship, you know? Generation X, we're like hardcore. We're built forward strong, right? This generation's different. My dad used to say to all of us who are leading now, just go start that ministry. We're like, okay. We didn't have Google. We didn't know what we were doing. This generation, they kind of need a little bit more. They need the how-tos and the prodding and the encouragement, and we want to be that for them, amen? I want to see this church just flooded with the next generation so we can pass the baton. How many know we need to do that? So that's strong into my heart. So, all right, how many who's ready for the word? So, like I said, next week I'm going to be talking on the fire of God. The next few Sundays, I really want to challenge us and get us out of our comfort zones regarding our faith and really challenge this church to be bold in the kingdom. And so my message is called Amazing Boldness. And I really want us to be challenged in being bold in our faith, bold in what we believe, bold in praying for people and reaching out. I believe miracles, I believe revival starts and ends with boldness, amen? And we're living in a time where the world would bully us. It's like Goliath wants the church to keep their mouth quiet. You may feel like you don't have the right answers to the times that we're living in. You don't need all the right answers. I'm just going to tell you, I gave my life to Jesus at 17, like I said earlier, and I hit the street. I started street witnessing right away. I mean, I went through evangelism explosion, but at 17, I didn't have a lot of street ministry experience, but we didn't talk about those things. We just released the power of God. We released prayer, and that's what God wants to do through you and in this church is he wants you to begin to step out in boldness and who God's called you to be. Be bold in your faith, amen? So I'm going to go to the book of Acts today. We're going to break apart some scripture verses. And this book was written by a man named Luke, and he was a medical doctor. And we're going to highlight some of the things that happened in this early church. They believed in Jesus. They loved Jesus. And one of the dominant themes that you'll find if you study the book of Acts, if you want to know what God wants his church to look like, just read the book of Acts. Just read it, because that's really what church is supposed to look like. But something that you see as a thread throughout the book of Acts is they had incredible, bold miracles. They were outrageously bold for God. So many things happened in the book of Acts. What? People were cast, demons were cast out of them. They literally saw tongues of fire on their head. How many would pass out if you just saw that today? Just tell the truth, don't lie. I mean, there was manifestations of the supernatural. I believe God is calling for the church to walk in that supernatural again. Amen? The reason why I think that we're not is because we've lost our boldness. We've lost our courage. We've lost an awareness that there is a God on the inside of you and a people around you who need the power of God that lives in you. They saw a lame man that was crippled and walked. They saw blind eyes open. They saw people raised from the dead. How many want to see those kind of miracles? I am ready to see what the church is supposed to look like. They had bold faith. Right? And that faith produced boldness, and that boldness produced spiritual results. So what is boldness? Let's talk about that this morning. Number one, boldness is a behavior born out of belief. A behavior born out of your belief. If you believe who God says you are, you will respond that way. When I was a children's pastor, nobody told me that children shouldn't pray for people or shouldn't be filled with the Holy Spirit or shouldn't have signs and wonders. We took our little children's class in my dad's church in Beloit, Wisconsin, and we taught those kids how to prophesy. Why? Because I believed they could. I didn't believe anything different. Nobody told me I should or shouldn't. I'm like, why should little ones wait until they're teenagers to be filled with the power? So they learned how to prophesy. They learned how to pray. We'd have an usher walk in to receive our little offering and get our count. And I'd be like, you know what, kids? Let's get around that usher and let's pray for them. And they would pray and prophesy. The ushers would walk out weeping and they'd be touched by God. Why? Because of belief. When you believe something, there's a behavior that comes out of you. If you believe the church is important in this hour, you will respond in boldness for the church. I've always said, there's a lot of things I'll ignore on Facebook or social media, but if they want to touch the church of Jesus Christ, it's like my mitts go up, my high heels come off, and I will box you, because the church is the bride of Christ. It's a place of gathering. It's a place of training. It's a place of relationships and accountability. And when you know that, you will value the church. You'll be bold about the church. When you know and believe that people need Jesus and are dying and going to hell, you will be bold in your faith. As we were standing there, and I know the Lord's birthed this in me, and so it's just starting in me, and it'll come out in this church, but I hear a cry of the next generation. They're crying. They don't know their sexual orientation. They don't know their faith. They don't believe God is real. It's not that they don't want to, but they don't know. And the church doesn't believe or have a boldness for this next generation to tell them the truth. Because do we believe that we have the answers? Do we believe God's power is there to set them free? Do we believe God can deliver them? We have to believe, and when you do, you will have boldness. I have this fire coming up in me for the next generation. I have a fire coming up in me for prodigal sons and daughters. I could hear their cry. You know, religious people aren't crying in this hour. Religious people aren't hungry for this move of God, but the lost world is. I'm telling you, the world is crying. There's so many transgenders that have done the whole surgery, that have done all the implants and all, they've gone all the way, and then they wake up and go, I've been deceived. I've been lied to. These aren't Christians. I'm not talking about a generation of Christians. I'm talking about the lost, who the enemy persuaded them to make these altering decisions, and they're waking up going, this is wrong. Why didn't somebody tell me the truth? Why wasn't somebody there for me before I got this far? When you believe there's a generation who needs hope, you will have boldness. When you believe the church is important, you show up and serve, and you do. So I'm just stating some facts, amen? When you believe that the church is important, you invite people to church. When you believe the church is important, you pray for people in parking lots. You pray for people in the grocery store. When you believe the world needs hope, you are open to anywhere to be bold in your faith. You know, I love my calling. I love what I do for Jesus. I love the church. I love preaching. Nothing's brought me more joy than I've done something bold out there. Nothing. This is awesome. I love what we did this morning. I love what God did. But when I prayed for that lady and her paper towels at Target, shaked my world forever. Why? Because boldness changes someone's life. Boldness changes you. And God is looking for us to arise in boldness this hour. If we don't, who will? The world is waiting for us, isn't it? What you believe determines how you behave. And if you believe you're not worthy, you'll act tentatively. If you believe that you're a failure and there's no good in you, you'll be cautious in all that you do. But if you believe in the one true Lord, our God, if you believe that he is in you, that he empowers you, that he has called you, that he has anointed you, you will rise up and live more boldly than you've ever lived before. I challenge you this month, do something out of your comfort zone for the kingdom of God. Pray for someone outside of these four walls. Ask the Holy Spirit, wake up in the morning and say, God, lead me to someone today. Show me someone today. You don't have to share the theology of the entire Word of God. You may just say, you know what? I'm a believer in Jesus, and I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. Can I pray for you? I tell you, every person that I've asked my entire journey with Christ, only one person told me no. One. Hundreds and hundreds of people say yes. Why? Because they need hope. And all God's asking for is, will you be bold for me? Because boldness is a behavior born out of belief. Let's look at the Greek word of boldness. Boldness, Greek, means this: outspokenness, courageous, confidence. It means to act without fear. There are some things that God's going to call you and challenge you in this hour to share your faith with someone. Sharing your faith is scary, but all you have to do is tell your story. And if the Holy Spirit is leading you, listen, he will be with you. I have to tell on our youth. Boy, the girls' youth ministry Wednesday night had a move of God. I'm telling you, God hit their room. It was so powerful. They were just opening up to God. But our Galentine night, our girls were meeting over here. They had the biggest tables, by the way. All the girls were there. And I was so proud. One young lady came who her mother had just committed suicide. And our girls, Maya and I think Victoria, had such a sensitivity to her that they pulled her outside and they shared their faith boldly. And they shared it courageously. And they allowed her to ask hard questions. And they went to Pastor Ginger and got the answers to some things they didn't understand. And I know that that little girl left different because two teenagers said, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to give her the answers that she needs. Come on, somebody. How many of us would maybe just sit at that table and pray they got touched by the speaker or pray they got touched by the anointing? But can we take it a step further and recognize their pain and say, hey, I don't have all the answers. I don't know, but you know I know a God who does. And I have the anointing that can help heal you. And I'll come alongside and I'll be there with you. Amen. God is looking for courageous, outspoken people that are not afraid to act in this hour. Amen. I believe that God is stirring in this church to do that very thing. And over the next few weeks, I'm asking the Lord to move and awaken and put a fire on the inside of us that only he can put in us and stoke it by his Spirit. So I want to look at something here of Peter. We're talking about the book of Acts. And Peter was a man that had bold intentions, but he had timid actions. Has anybody ever been there before? Like, I believe all of us in this room have an intention to want to do something bold for Jesus, but there's a timidity on the inside of us, and we may not realize it. In Matthew 26, 35, Jesus was challenging them and telling Peter, you're gonna betray me. And Peter said these words. He said, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. He had a desire to say yes to Jesus. He had a desire to be bold, but when it came down to the facts, he denied Jesus. And Jesus is like, it's not going to happen, Peter. By the end of the day, you're going to deny me three times. And what do we find out? Peter did. He denied him. Before the day ended, he even denied Jesus to a little child. See, when you get away from who you are in Christ, when you get away from the Word of God that challenges us, that equips us, when you're facing a situation, it's easier to back off into the distance instead of being bold in your faith. But something happened on the inside of Peter, and this is what we're going to focus on this morning. Jesus, at this point in John chapter 21, Jesus had died, he had resurrected again, and he came and visited Peter while he was here on earth. And he said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Three times. What did Peter say? "I do." "Peter, do you love me?" "I do." He said it three times. Now, there's many philosophies or theology why he said those three times, but something changed in Peter in that moment when he knew that Jesus had forgiven him, when he knew that Jesus loved him unconditionally. We see that leading us into the book of Acts, in Acts 1, verse 8, they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And something came inside of Peter. And what you see changed in him was three things that the Lord showed me. Is number one, he realized that he was never going to be perfect. If you want to be bold for Jesus, you have to realize you're never going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to fall short. The disciples showed us clearly that God still used them in their mistakes. Number two, you have to realize you are forgiven. If that sin is under the blood of Jesus and you're dealing with it and you're growing in Christ, you've been forgiven. And number three, he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of the speaking in tongues. There's a power of the Holy Spirit that you walk in your boldness. It is not you that walks in boldness. It's the God in you that walks in boldness. And what do we see happened in Peter? Something switched. When he knew God was on his side, he went and he spoke the largest message that the church has ever heard, and he spoke it with boldness. Where he was timid to a child, he stepped up and said, "You are a corrupt generation." Well, that's not politically correct. That may not fare well in many churches today. "Turn from your sins," he said. "Repent and be baptized." He spoke boldly. He was no longer that shy, timid man, unassured of who he was. When he knew the power of God was in him, he spoke boldly. And what happened? 3,000 people were saved in one day. And the new church testament began to explode. There's a boldness that comes in you when you know the Holy Spirit is on your side. So we're going to look at this in Acts. As they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 3, Peter and John came to a man that was a lame man, and he was a beggar for 40 years, say 40 years. And I know many of you have heard this story before, but for 40 years, and in Acts chapter 3, imagine this man for 40 years. This was the journey of Peter and John. They have gone this way many times. That means they knew this man. They probably passed that man many times, but because he was walking in boldness, something changed. And when he walked by that same guy, maybe even threw some coins in, today was different. And he said this, "Silver and gold I don't have, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And that lame man rose up and walked. See, when you step into the boldness of God, things begin to change around you. Miracles begin to happen. And that man's life was changed, and Peter and John stepped up in boldness. Now, what happened? There was a controversy that happened because Jesus was gone. The Sanhedrin said, "We don't have to worry about that anymore. Jesus is gone." But now Jesus is in man, amen? And so what happened? The captain, temple, and guard, and the Sadducees, they arrested Peter and John, and they were put on trial. And what would they do is they'd build a circle, and they would intimidate the people on trial, and they'd put them in the middle. And they were either going to be beaten or put in prison or even put to death. And they asked him, "By what name and what authority do you do these works?" They were trying to entrap him. Now, what I want you to see is the boldness of Peter in this in Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Let's start there. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit." Say, "Holy Spirit." Listen, your boldness is not going to come from you. I've seen boldness that's not by the Holy Spirit, and it's more religious and accusation and legalistic than it is freeing. So when you come into the power of the Holy Spirit, he said, "Rulers and elders of the people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed?" I love this, and this is where the boldness kicks in. "Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene." It was healed by Jesus. They didn't want to hear the name of Jesus. They were done with Jesus. They killed Jesus. And then he stuck the knife in and turned it a little bit. And he said, and the man you crucified, by whom God raised from the dead. That was boldness for Peter. Why? Because they hated Jesus. They had lost political control when they had Jesus. They didn't believe that Jesus was going to be resurrected. And by Peter saying these things, it was actually an act of war. Now, what I want you to see is 2,000 years later or so, the time we're living in, the name of Jesus is still a controversial name. You can say any name you want. You notice that every name in Hollywood is not Buddha or Hare Krishna. It's the name Jesus Christ or God blanket. Why? Because he is the name above every name. It's the controversial name. We've got to be very careful because people, well, I love God. I love God. And I'm like, that's awesome, but do you love Jesus? Because there's a lot of gods in this world. There's a lot of deception of people that say, I love God, but do you love Jesus? There's this well-known anchor, I won't say her name, but she wrote a book recently, and a friend of mine came to me, oh my gosh, she loves God. She loves Jesus so much, I'm going to buy her book. And I'm like, really? Because all she does is come against Christians. She comes against all the things that stands for religion in the world and all of that. I don't think she's a Christian. Oh, no, she loves God so much. She was on this Christian podcast. She was talking about how much she loved God. I said, go to the book and find out if she mentions the name of Jesus. Guess what? No name of Jesus. Why? Because anybody can name a God, but there's the name of Jesus that still brings controversy today. There's higher power, but Jesus is the higher power. Amen. Thank you, Mom. He's the only power, she said. Papa, get it straight, girl. My dad was asked to speak and pray in Congress. How many years ago was that now? 100. He said 100. He was honored by Paul Ryan, who was, what was he in our city again? He was Speaker of the House, thank you. He knew my dad, and he invited him to pray in Congress. Bishop, we want you to pray. You have so many words to say, but you can't mention the name of Jesus. And Bishop gets up there, and what do you think he does? You think he obeys Congress? No, in the name of Jesus. And that prayer is still written in Congress today in the book of records. We see it today with Pastor Jack Hibbs. My dad would have been all over TikTok had it been back 20 years ago. Why? Because they hate the name of Jesus. Jesus is the name above all names. Jesus terrifies the enemy. It's a controversial name. So we pray the boldness of Jesus. He wasn't afraid, was he? Peter said, you may have killed him, but he's alive and well inside of me. In Acts chapter 4:13, it says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw so much boldness. Amazed. Why would he speak to me like that? How dare him talk to us about the name of Jesus? They were amazed at the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Now, something I want you to see, after that whole thing happened in verse 13, it went down to verse 18 and 19, and this is what they said to them. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God or to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. Listen, we're living in a time, church, where you're going to have to be bold in your faith. You're going to have to stand on the word of God. And it may have controversy, and it may have some resistance, but you have to know that God is on your side. And Peter and Paul said, I don't care if the government tries to shut my voice. Come on, somebody. We are living in a time where the very government today, the ungodly government, is trying to shut the mouths of the church, shut the mouths of the believer. That's why the Democratic, I'm not saying Democratic Party, please forgive me. I should say the people hated the name of Jesus. I'm sure there was many Republicans also. They were so mad at Jack Hibbs for saying the name of Jesus. Why? Because the devil inside of them trembles when you hear the name of Jesus. Says, you can't shut my mouth. There's something happening in the church world today. God shook the church. Devil tried to take the church in 2020. And the church is always going to rise. We may have fallen asleep for a minute, but it's coming back strong. But God is shaking the pulpits right now. shaking the pulpits. Why? Because he wants a righteous bride. He wants a righteous house. He's not looking for a church full of thousands and thousands, although I would love it, don't get me wrong. Why? Because more lives are being changed. But in this hour, he's got pocketed churches everywhere that are just saying, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, have your nation back. And I'm telling you, God's going to rise these churches for such a time as this. But it's going to be a bold church who will be willing to tell the truth. Who cares what the religious leaders think? Who cares what the Sanhedrins or the Sadducees or the Pharisees of the world think? We don't care. We care about the lost and dying world who needs the hope of Jesus Christ. Number one, God gives ordinary people extraordinary boldness. Verse 13, the leaders could see that Peter and John were ordinary men with no special training. Well, I need to be mentored. No, you don't. I need to go to Bible college. No, you don't. He said they had no special training. They were ordinary men. That Greek word, ordinary, means idiotes. It means unschooled, unlearned, ordinary. But it also means this, idiot. There's a bunch of idiots running around for Jesus. Come on, somebody. Yeah, you may look like an idiot, but you're going to be bold. You don't have to know Matthew, Genesis to Revelations. Yes, study your word. I'm not saying that. Get the answers, yes. But to be bold in your faith, you don't need all of that. You just need the power of the Holy Spirit and some boldness on the inside of you to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Boldness to say you need Jesus today. Boldness to say to this generation, you don't have to be concerned about your sexual identity. I will walk you through it. I will show you the love of God. We will break generational curses. We will be bold for this generation. Remember that old saying, bless your little heart. We always say, when they say that, oh, you little idiot, you sweet little idiot. God loves to take people that would otherwise be overlooked and give them boldness. You may say, well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be. I'm just a home mom. You can still have boldness. I'm just a student in school. Even more, you can have boldness. You just feel like you're a regular guy or girl. Those are the ones God wants to use. Why? Because you are surrounded with people that you can be bold in your faith for. There's so many ways to be bold. I don't want to run out of time, but you can walk away from gossiping sessions and say, I'm sorry, I don't participate in this kind of conversation. I don't think we should talk about that person unless they're in the room. Or we're not going to talk about my church. I know everybody loves me in this church. You'd never talk about me. I know. I know you all are lying too. It's okay. But I'm not going to talk about my pastors. I'm not going to talk about the local church. Why? I'm going to be bold in what I believe. And you're going to separate yourself from the pack. It says they were amazed. When you stand in your faith and boldness, people will be amazed. They may not like it, but it's what they want. Amen. Women of God should be dressing modestly. Yes. If there's anything that burns me on social media, is to see, especially preacher women that are half naked on social media. I just have a rage that I just can't even tell you the text messages I've deleted. Why? Because we need to be bold in modesty. We need to be bold in maturity. We need to show the next generation of young girls how to live modestly, how to live righteously, how to be prepared for their future husbands and men of God, their future wives, what to look for. That's boldness. I'm waiting for my husband. I'm not going to participate in that kind of thing. Generation will be bold when you say, I'm going to walk in purity. I'm not going to have sex before marriage. And maybe I did already, but I'm not going to be anymore. That's bold in my faith. I'm going to stop sleeping around if I came in the kingdom and I was used to sleeping around. I'm going to walk out of some movies I shouldn't be in. Can I tell you guys a story? Some of you might have heard it, but I went to a movie a long time ago. I'm not estranged to walking out of a movie, and my little family over here can say yes, amen. But I was in this movie with another couple, and the scene got bad. You ever been in a movie like, okay, that one was bad, but okay. Well, the next scene got really bad. I'm not kidding you. I started screaming. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. I was mortified. And I'm like, oh, I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. I couldn't believe people were watching it. I had all these feelings. Why isn't everybody stampeding out of this? This is unbelievable. So I look at my friends. I'm like, we are out of here. And so we're tiptoeing out. I'm trying to be gracious. And all it took was a man in the back row to talk to me. And he goes, the scene's almost over with, ma'am. And I went in slow motion, you know what? How dare you? This is filth. This is just, I mean, I went off. I really did. All of you got your children in here. You should be marching. This is pornography. This is filth. And I just marched right out of there and got my ticket. Well, if he'd have kept his mouth shut, everything would have been fine. But sometimes you got to be bold for Jesus. I don't want this filth in my eye gate. I don't want this in my soul. I'm going to be bold for the kingdom. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. There was a guy on the Chop TV show. I used to watch Chop all the time. His name was Chef Natara. I don't know if anybody watches that, but he won the show, and he won $10,000. Well, his second-rate girl, the girl was there with him. She was very poor. She was trying to start a business. Single mom had went through a lot of trials and drugs, and she was getting her life out of all of it, and she lost. Well, this man is a believer in Christ, and he stopped the show, and he said, I have to say something. I'm a Christian, and God just spoke to me. I'm supposed to give her my $10,000 win. And the judges were like, what is going on? Everybody began to weep. She began to weep, and he said later, he's a Christian, he said behind the scenes, TV didn't show it, but people were in the kitchen giving glory to God, lifting their arms, giving glory to God. That's boldness. He didn't care about the cameras. He didn't care about the popular chefs that were, he had obeyed God, and God made them amazed at this boldness. Who knows what seeds were planted in them, amen? All right, number two, your boldness will amaze the world. It's around the corner on this. 11:11, praise the Lord. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Why? Because they could have been killed, and they didn't care. I want to ask us this today. I'm asking myself, when was someone amazed by your boldness? I'm asking the Lord for this more and more. I was trying to think back, God, when was the last time I did something that was amazed your boldness? I'm not talking from the pulpit because this is what I do, but I'm talking about outside out there. What did I do that really made you shine, God, that really was bold? Did we encourage someone? Are we living with integrity? Are we sharing our faith? Are we being bold in the thing God's called us to be bold to? Amen. And number three, spiritual boldness comes from knowing Christ. And this is the key to everything. Verse 4:14 said, they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. I want to encourage you in this because boldness is not the goal. Knowing Jesus is the goal. Because there's a lot of people that are bold out there right now, and they're cutting, and it's rude, and there's no love in it, and it's judgmental because it's boldness, it's religious. It's legalistic, it's hurtful because it's not wrapped in love. And when you're knowing Jesus is built through relationship with him, through the word of God, through worship, amen, through personal growth. We have a discipleship program here on Sunday nights called Rooted. And I was so proud, about six of our teenagers went to Rooted. I was so proud of them. And they're being bold and they're knowing Jesus. They can't be bold in their faith until they know Jesus. And they're asking hard questions. Is God real? And why would God do these things? And I love it. I love that they're in an environment that they can ask hard questions that's on their heart and find the truth. But because what they believe, remember the beginning, is how they will behave. So you have to know Jesus more. It's through a relationship with him. They're going to put a graph on the screen. And it looks like this. Time with Jesus. We've got to spend time with him. That's why I'm saying do the 30 days of communion at home. To be religious? No, because it brings into remembrance of Jesus. Every day we're going to sit down, take our communion, our bread. Thank you for what you did for me, Jesus. Thank you for your covenant. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for bringing my children home. What's happening? You're spending time with him. And when you spend time with him, it develops your faith. I've always said what you do privately, you can do boldly in public. If you're praying in private, you'll be able to pray in public. If you're worshiping in private, you can worship in public. And then when you have your faith, it produces boldness. And when you're bold, it gets results for the kingdom of God. Miracles happen. But the opposite can be true. If there's no time with Jesus, praise team, come up. There's no boldness. If we're not developing that relationship with Jesus, there's no boldness. And without boldness, what happens? We can't get results. What happens, church? You end up living for the lower things of this world, and you wonder why you're empty. There's no greater joy than reaching someone with the love of God. There's no greater joy than praying for someone. Right. Yeah, the altars can flood here, but that's not the real thing in your world. Amen? I'm going to close with this verse, and then we're going to close with a worship song tonight. This morning, I'm going to let you go. Acts 4, verse 20 says this. We cannot stop. This is his answer to them to stop talking. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. We cannot stop. Stand to your feet, church. We cannot stop. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is the only one that can awaken us on the inside of us? I can preach this fiery message, and you can come on out, team. I can preach this message, and I can get all excited, and we can shout amen. But when you go home today, you have to pray, Holy Spirit, stoke the flames. Stoke the fire. I'm crying out to God right now. I've been in this game a long time. My parents have been in it longer. And sometimes when you get in this race, you lose that fire, you know? You lose that zeal. I think I did more for God when I wasn't in full-time ministry than now. Because when you're young, you're so ambitious and you're excited. You'll pray for everybody, visit the hospitals. And God is calling his church back to that, amen? He's calling us back to that fire. I'll talk about that more next week, but he's awakening. We can't live for ourselves in this hour. We can't live for ourselves in this hour. It's not the time for that. The kingdom, the church needs us more than ever. The world needs us more than ever. And the enemy can have rattling sabers over here, noises over here, distractions here and distractions there, and we miss the moment that God has in the church right now. Amen? This church has been set apart since 1989 when Bishop founded the first one. And this one is called by the Lord for such a time as this. And that's why I know with our covering being back home in this house and in this city, something's about to break. But it starts with us. Search our hearts, God. Is there a fire that I need in me again? This isn't condemned. This is just a show, okay? When we have a prayer night, this place should be packed. I should have it on my schedule. I'm Xing out everything. I'm at the house of the Lord for prayer. Why? Because this city needs praying people. This church needs praying people, amen? I'm not condemning. I want you to hear me. But I want to recognize, where's the fire? Where's the fire? Because when Azusa Street happened, the 30 people praying happened to thousands lining up around the building. You couldn't get in. Listen, a tiny, beat-up, old building. It wasn't even pretty. Probably didn't even smell good. But they lined up. Why? Because of the presence of God. God is calling this church to that, amen? We're going to close with worship with this song, and then I'll come back and dismiss. Let's worship one last time.